with it, writing. 말이 좀 안 되면 어때? No more waiting. All in now, 다 걸어봐. 돈 네 말 필요도 없어, go get it. What's up? This is Kid Koala. You're listening to CKUT in Montreal, 90.3 FM.
Quebec Music Parallel is proud to present Rebetica by Andy Moore from The X with Yanis Kyriakides. Also featured, the Bozzini Quartet with Andy Moore performing Yanis Kyriakides' cassettes. It's all happening live in downtown Montreal at the Espace Orange in the Edifice Wilder at Blurry and St. Catharines. Show happens on October 16th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets available on the Espace Orange website. A CKUT co-presentation.
Listening to CKUT, my name is Lenny, and I conducted an interview with the band Dresser at Pop Montreal on September 28th, and here is some of their music and that interview. Thanks for listening.
Take so long to take it off this time of year. soldier from our grip.
Yeah, if you guys wouldn't mind just telling me the name of your band.
Band's called Dress Up.
Cool. Okay, great. So when did you guys start playing music together?
It was in 2018. Early 2018 was the initial kind of formation of Dresser. But the three of us kind of got together probably a year after that or so, after a couple of lineup changes.
Yeah, I came along a little bit later in the configuration.
Yeah, and then we've been a three-piece since kind of the pandemic happened.
Cool. Yeah, so what is your writing process like, or the creative process behind, you know, writing, making the songs?
It's most...
I was going to say, Finn does a lot of the, like, core writing stuff. Like, he'll just bring the songs to practice, and then Kevin and I have been a rhythm section for a long time now, so we just kind of, like, fill in the gaps and make the song work.
Come in and, like, put our own personal touches on it.
Yeah, that's where we get the space, I think, to, like, express ourselves, but I think we both feel it's largely, like, Finn's creative baby.
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah, if you guys want to go around and maybe introduce and say, you know, what part you play in Finn.
Mm-hmm. I'm Finn, and I write the songs, play guitar, and I sing.
I'm Chris, and I play bass and sing.
And I'm Kevin, and I play drums.
Cool. So I guess, do you guys prefer playing live, or do you prefer to be in the studio? Which one do you feel like is where you shine best?
I would say currently, like, playing live is where we shine the most. We're working on a record right now in a studio with a friend called Renee Wilson, and we're slowly figuring out that studio kind of chemistry and how to record and stuff. But I'd say playing live is where we've really found our legs.
I also think we try to bring a lot of that live energy to our recordings, mm-hmm. which happened a lot on the last album, 17 Blocks and Then Some. and I think it's kind of captured on this new one as well. So that's exciting.
Yeah, most definitely.
Awesome. What would you say has been the greatest influence on your sound?
You got to take this one.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of music I used to listen to from Canada before I moved here from New Zealand. That was kind of, you know, that whole angular post-punk kind of stuff, which is not really our wheelhouse, but there's touches of that. There's kind of touches of country stuff. I really like the Silver Jews a lot, which is like kind of an influence for songwriting style sometimes. Those are a couple things, but there's nothing super, I wouldn't say there's one thing that stands out super strongly, but yeah.
I think we're like a lot of people these days and just have like super omnivorous and diverse music tastes, so it's like hard to pinpoint one thing. Like, it really could be any like R&B or like...
Yeah, exactly. I listen to a lot of R&B, like modern hip hop. And I also listen to a lot of like 70s krautrock, more experimental German rock. But then I'll also like dip into stadium rock, like Foo Fighters and, you know, Queens of the Stone Age are like big influences on my drumming, especially earlier on. So,
do you find if like you incorporate that into your drumming, then you guys will play off of, you know, what you bring to it? And
I definitely do. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, there's a lot of interplay when it comes to like us arranging the songs together, and a lot of the time like the band will move together off stuff that like Kevin will do, like little bits that Kevin does, a little bits that Chris does, and then they do those things together, and then I join in, and
we definitely as a rhythm section lock in pretty quickly, which is nice. But like as a trio, the bass kind of like is the bridge between all the melodic and like vocal guitar stuff and all the rhythmic bass like drum stuff, so so nice. I really love the trio dynamic. I think we're pretty stoked on it right now.
Yeah,
that's a good dynamic to have, three people, or you're all bringing something else to the table. So how has your relationship with playing live and playing music in general changed since the start of the pandemic?
Playing live,
Yeah, that one's kind of a...
I think we got kind of lucky in a lot of ways. Like, we kind of got opportunities pretty quick after the first time the pandemic ended. I'm doing air quotes.
Yeah. Well, no, it's true. Like, when shows first started happening again, post, like, the pandemic beginning, a lot of stuff did happen to us. And, like, in terms of, you know, we noticed there was a bit more of an audience and, like, people were more... kind of like just energized at shows, hungry. Which is one thing for us, but also something just for the music scene at large that I noticed. Like, there was lots of kind of younger, enthusiastic people coming out to shows, and that was really cool. And that provided lots of like opportunities for us and, you know, lots of new good connections.
Yeah, it was hard in the absence of the scene, but now that it's back, it feels like people are really excited and very into music in a way that I almost didn't feel pre-pandemic. It's almost like we all took it for granted, and now everyone has like a genuine enthusiasm that's really nice to see in the audience.
For sure. In the 5 years that I've been here, I would say the music scene is like stronger than it's ever been in my little 2 year
absence too. Like, it kind of made room for a newer generation, like younger kids who are like, you know, eager to do that sort of thing once the pandemic was over. Like,
yeah.
So when we started doing shows, it was like, you know, a bunch of
Gen Z,
younger folk who were very eager to see shows and, you know, play shows as well. And
see a lot of new bands come out of it.
Just very energizing for us to, you know, to be able to play those kinds of shows to those kinds of audiences was really fun. Mm-hmm. And continues to be.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. I think with the pandemic, it had a lot of different impacts, some of them more positive than people, I guess, originally thought. But and I guess what makes playing music in Montreal? I don't know if you mentioned you've lived in New Zealand or you're from New Zealand. And if you guys have lived in other cities, what makes playing in Montreal unique or a special experience?
Well, we went on tour recently, like an East Coast tour, which is our second time. And we also played in Toronto. And I think we had a lot of fun out on the road. And all those audiences were like so giving and so great. But it also helps contextualize how great the scene is here, especially when we're kind of like going through some of the smaller stops in the East Coast, and you're like, wow, there's a really strong core here, but I feel so lucky to have like so much access to so many different like events all the time, and like such a diversity of things to do too. So I think playing in Montreal is really cool because it's just like kind of the most happening place in Canada right now.
There's just so much going on, and that's really the...
Sorry, I shouldn't have too strong of opinions. Deter any other audiences. We love you, Toronto.
Yeah, it's just like, and especially here, given kind of like the language dynamic, and we kind of operate in a predominantly, you know, pretty reasonably strongly Anglophone kind of community, and these kind of central neighborhoods that we live in the city are just so densely packed with different kinds of artists and stuff who are all doing amazing stuff. And it's not only going to events all the time and seeing your friends play all the time, but you're just literally like around each other constantly 24/7 in our little world. And it's just, yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, and the question was leading, so it was like asking about Montreal, so no worries on that. Thank you guys for talking to me. That's pretty much all the questions I have, but I'm really excited to see the show.
Choose.
Huge thanks to Dresser for that interview. You were just listening to Bystand off of their album 17 Blocks and Then Some. Thanks for listening.
This is Mary J. Blige, and you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
and good afternoon. My name is Randolph Jordan. You're listening to the Montreal Sessions on CKUT 90.3 FM. We just heard a track from the Philip Glass album Songs from Liquid Days, featuring music by Philip Glass and lyrics by Paul Simon, about people who hear an electrical hum in their apartment and chase it around because they don't know where it's coming from, and then start to ruminate at the end of the track about different things that it may be. One of the things they say is that it might be the mantra of the walls and the wiring, or perhaps the hum of changing opinion, the sound of their minds as they become open to new things. And in some ways, that's kind of a theme of what we're doing here on the show this month. I'm calling this show the 21st Century Schizophone, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. There's nothing happening. Okay, so we're just getting used to the board here. Computer one on. Yeah. Okay. And the technology takes over, which is perfect. Okay, here we go. 21st Century Schizophone. 21st Century
Schizophone.
Oh. Rocket ship. I think it came from outer space.
Phone? He said phone?
Oh.
He said phone?
Can't you understand English? He said phone.
Oh. Ring.
You want to call somebody?
Yip, 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 yip,
yip, yip, yip,
yip.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm all right.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions, and I want to have them answered immediately.
Okay.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
Who?
Who is your daddy?
Who are you talking about?
Who are you?
Well, who are you?
I'm Detective John Kimball.
Hey, this is a motel.
I'm a cop, you idiot. I'm Detective John Kimball.
Well, if you're a cop, you idiot, come over here and talk to me, okay?
You son of a bitch.
And I don't know what he does. This is a switchboard at the Gator Lodge.
Stop it!
I don't stop nothing, you idiot.
Stop it!
Thanks for calling Hooters San Jose. This is Kay. How can I help you?
How are you?
Good.
First, I would like to just get to know you.
Get to know me?
Yeah.
Well, sorry, no.
You son of a bitch.
What?
Stop whining.
Stop whining?
Yeah.
I'm not whining. What are you talking about?
Who are you?
I'm someone that works at this restaurant.
You lack discipline.
What?
You lack discipline.
Do I like discipline?
Yes.
You need to call a different line. This is Hooters. You don't call here talking like that, all right?
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions, and I want to have them answered immediately.
Who's this, Dave?
I'm Detective John Kimball.
Yeah, sure you are.
I'm a cop, you idiot. I'm Detective John Kimball.
Well, how about come over here and I'll whoop your goddamn ass? How about that shit?
Yeah.
All right.
You son of a bitch.
That's great, man. Call me that. You got a problem? Get over here. Otherwise, get off of the phone and quit being an idiot.
But I hope you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach.
I will. Bye.
Right, and we're back here. My name is Randolph Jordan. This is the 21st Century Schizophone, the July edition of the Montreal Sessions. We got some angry birds going here. What you just heard was the governor of California polling the electorate, and these prank calls make me think of a few things that are related to the theme of the show. First of all, the title, 21st Century Schizophone, is cueing off of a Canadian composer and father of acoustic ecology, R. Murray Schafer's concept of schizophonia, which basically he used to refer to the negative implications of sound becoming separated. Oh, hang on a second. Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Okay. Yes, the... Oh, yeah, a little bonus there at the end. All right, so the negative implications of sound becoming separated from its sources and how in modern society it's very easy to become confused, he feels, about where we are, what we're doing, and what we're hearing. And this made me think of a few things. I'm into film sound, and film sound, of course, is premised upon the recording and the fabrication of sonic environments, as is a lot of sound art, kind of things we're going to be listening to on this show. And in those calls, the idea of calling people up and using samples from movies with dialogue with Arnold Schwarzenegger to speak to other people and having them not recognize the voice or recognize that they are samples and think that it's just some idiot on the other end of the phone strikes me as particularly hilarious for a number of reasons. First of all, it seems evident on our end that it's clear that these are audio samples, right? The quality of the production changes from one soundbite to another. But when you're on the other end of the phone, you might not hear those details because, of course, telephone technology cuts a lot of those nuances out. And so that's part of this idea of schizophrenia, where when things get filtered through different layers of technology, we lose a sense of their context. Of course, these were made before Schwarzenegger became governor of California. So, but you know, he was you know, one of the biggest movie stars in Hollywood, and so the idea then that there are people out there who have not been exposed to this ubiquitous voice, particularly back in the 80s, you know, strikes me as a little strange too. Anyway, what happens when you take things out of context. And that leads into well, these Angry Birds here, what we're listening to, these ambiences. I remember Amber Goodwin, who's here with me in the studio today.
Hey, Randall.
He's helping me figure the board out and stuff for the first show here. Posted something on Facebook about how she was thought you were listening to field recordings on the air here at CKUT, but it turns out it was just the sound coming in from the window.
Yeah, I was just sitting at my desk paying attention to something like Doing Up the Charts, and I was just remarking to myself about how beautiful the field recording sounded, the wind in the trees and some scattered bird calls, and then I was like, who's doing this? What show's on the air? And I was like, oh, my window's open. I think that's an effect from the previous music coordinator here, yeah. Andrea Jane Cornell,
right.
Upon me.
Yeah. Right, and so that's that made me think of a time when I keep Angry Birds loaded on the computer here, and when you open it up, the sound just starts, but sometimes if the volume's down and it's quiet, you don't actually notice particularly that that's, and you know, if you have windows open and things, it's summer, it's July here in Montreal, and I confused the sound of Angry Birds more than once for sound that was coming in through the window. You might ask what kind of birds I have in my backyard.
No kidding.
But then it struck me that that a lot of these video games have these ambient soundscapes that contribute to the sound of our environment. And so that's something that that interests me quite a bit as well. Anyway. Okay, so on the show this month, we're going to be having a lot of environmental sound-based stuff, soundscape compositions, but also film sound collages, a whole bunch of stuff I have planned today. The main thing we're going to get into in a few minutes is an hour-long a collage of film sound by sound artist Kirsten Hayward. We'll talk more a little bit about after the piece, but it's an hour-long radio piece called A Family Thing. It's actually meant to be heard on the radio. It's about radio, but it's never been played on the radio before. It's played as a gallery installation. It's been released on a CD, but it's never actually been played on the radio, so I'm excited about being able to present it in its intended format.
very special.
Yes.
Yeah, you should let her know.
Yes, I will.
Awesome.
And but before we get into that, because it is a longer piece, I want to take care of a little business here. First of all, we have a couple of ads to play, and these are running off of this computer here, so cue that up. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's our ad for the hour.
Check out CKUT's Clip of the
goodness.
Week, video style.
I gotta start this one over again.
Kicking it to the next level. Sound and sight.
Should
go to CKUT.ca for a taste of the oral diversity
so good music
that is CKUT.
Now. All day, all night.
This week,
I wish I could
featuring
play all
Butcher
day, all
T's
night.
Noontime
I can do it,
cuts.
Okay, and we're back. This is, again, Montreal Sessions, CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm Randolph Jordan, and so now we're going to get into this Gersten Hayward radio sound collage piece called A Family Thing. I'll talk more about it afterwards, but it's called almost entirely from samples from films with a lot of dialogue, actually, but also ambient sounds, but dialogue organized around the theme of the piece, which is families, and in particular, what happens when a family is disrupted by the disappearance of a member, and it draws connections between a wide variety of genres, which are all dealing with a basic sort of family situations, whether they're science fiction or horror or whatever else. But also the piece is organized according to the idea that if you, you know, the idea of radio as a place of kind of infinite drift, where if you sort of were just slowly rotating the dial across the board, catching bits and pieces of things in and out, and perhaps falling asleep in the process and starting to make connections between the random things that happen. This is one of the ideas governing the logic of the piece. So it does have a narrative, but it's one of loose associations.
It's sort of like a scan button then.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
On a car, in a car radio, when you just put that on. Sometimes when I'm driving around on long road trips, just hit the scan button to see what comes up, and then... When Prince does, for example, he just hit scan again and then you listen to it.
Exactly. So anyway, so that's the premise of the piece. I'm going to pop in once or twice as it's rolling to remind you what you're listening to. But in essence, this runs a full hour. Okay, so here we go with Gersten Hayward's A Family Thing.
God for getting rid of the VCR, I'm telling you, the DVD is awesome. And for me personally, though, the CD player, I was kind of disappointing. I really missed the turntable and needle. I don't know what it is about that.
And the big 8-track, right?
Well, the 8-track, it had some things that I liked, but that turntable, was just almost religious for me.
Well, it was definitely religious for me.
And there are plenty of them down in Florida, and they will show up.
Eine Mikrofonstimme. Ein Vater redet seinen verstorbenen Sohn an. Eine Kinderstimme gegnet Täti Anruf. Es ist Lettisch und heißt Vater, ruf an. Bitte aufpassen.
Hello. I have a message from the Federation of the Universe.
Great.
Listen, my children, be not deceived. For each race, there was an Adam and an Eve brought to Earth from the planet on which they were given birth. This is not only true of man, but every plant, animal, and creature of the sea. We seeded the Earth, and we shall return to claim it. Farewell.
Sure, hon.
You know how my friend Stan has, like, a dad?
Uh-huh.
And my friend Kyle has a dad, and my friend Kenny has a dad?
Yes? Well, what's your question, hon?
God damn it! Do I have a dad?
The day I met your father, it was like magic. It was a beautiful autumn night when the aspen trees were turning at the 12th annual drunken barn dance.
I was dancing with my darling to the Tennessee waltz when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced her to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me.
Said he was Ethan's father.
But where did he go?
Where are they going?
Did he say?
Journey. Long, special journey.
Thank you.
destiny gives choice to no one, my son. And your destiny was shaped for the seed of your life to grow.
You said my son.
I'm your father.
My father?
I came a long way to reclaim you. I came from very far.
My father's dead. No one can come that far. Are you really my father?
Yes.
Where have you been?
Where we're going.
See, I've already gone places.
Journey? Long, special journey.
I just want to stay where I am.
Come, my son. The others are waiting for us. We are all going home together.
No, Ethan! Don't go with him!
My mother was going to take me away from here. She died. I was 9 years old.
I just want to stay alive.
Did you see him?
Oh, no.
Just a few traces. We'll trace them down.
Sheriff Stakefield sent you home to put that gun away. Still think that's a good idea.
They took my daughter. A man's got cause to go gunning when his daughter's taken.
Problem. I mean, we tried to do everything we could.
What do you mean?
Well, you know what I mean. He's gone. And we couldn't do nothing about it. That's it.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
He's gone. He's gone.
Fire! The church is on fire! Fire!
One of these mornings, the sun's gonna come up and burn a hole clean through the planet like an electrical x-ray.
Yeah, you see, every now and then, the sun gives off with an attack. It's like eating spicy food. And sends out waves and waves of gases for millions and millions of miles. And I tell you, it stops radio plane dead.
This would stop your transmission.
Yeah. Can you dig it? Oh, quite possibly.
I didn't startle you, hon. Are you feeling better?
I like it here. Nothing beats setting up camp in the desert at night, just toasting s'mores and getting glowy. Did I ever tell you I'm not doing that?
Fire! The church is burning! The church! Fire!
Fire! What the hell is he going on about?
Andy!
What did he say?
What the
hell's going on, Pat?
No, so could you.
The church is burning!
Jesus Christ, the church is on fire.
Christ, it's getting warm in here.
So maybe what? You got too close to the fire. So maybe
Baby, we have to talk.
It's your reason.
And you're listening to the 21st Century Schizophone, July edition of the Montreal Sessions here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Randolph Jordan, your host on this program for the month, and that was the first section of Gersten Hayward's radio theater piece, A Family Thing. We're going to get into the second part in a moment, but first, here's an ad for my show.
July on the Montreal Sessions, join me, Randolph Jordan, for the 21st Century Schizophone. 21st Century
Schizophone. A soundscape is any collection of sounds.
It has that open air sound, you know, where it sounds like wind blowing through trees.
But what you're hearing now is not real sound. It's coming from
the old Rogers radio in our living room.
Oh. Radio.
Ah, yes, radio. Radio is the real music of the spheres.
Hey, don't touch that dial.
No, don't touch it. It opens doors.
What kind of doors?
Tune in every Tuesday from 3 to 5 p.m. to find out what kind of doors we'll be opening here on the 21st Century Schizophone, the July edition of the Montreal Sessions with me, Randolph Jordan, here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Yeah.
Okay, and here I am live in the studio on the Montreal Sessions. We're going to continue now with the second part of Gersten Hayward's Family Thing, a piece designed for the radio. It's about the experience of listening to radio, but it's also about the experience of the disruption of a family unit by the disappearance of a single member. Okay, we'll get into the second section here.
Wow, did you see that?
No.
It's a shooting star. So romantic.
For her recent divorce, shot and killed her three children, aged 7.
Up, Peanut.
I can't take no more of this radio. I never heard so much shit in all my life. Sailor Ripley, you get me some music on that radio this instant. I made it.
We were driving too fast. But I knew that if I slowed down at all, I would begin to tremble. And so, although the road was torturous, climbing steeply up the mountain, I kept my foot pressed hard on the gas pedal. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see that my husband was looking quietly into the green valley far below. He looked peaceful now. He had made his speech about driving too fast. I'd asked him to be quiet, and now he was quiet. I wondered what he would do if I stopped the car and told him right then that we were driving up to the Johnson house so that I might kill him.
No, you're not going to kill him. You're not going to kill him.
Daddy?
Tony, what's happened? Did you have a bad dream? Tell me about it.
Daddy was looking at me.
Nice to see you, Father.
Oh, Sat. I'm sorry. I've become like my own father.
That's what happens when you get old.
Darling, it was only a dream. Come on.
But he was taken away.
He left us. Now you know that.
He'll come back. He still loves us.
Of course he loves us. Go to sleep.
When you disappeared from America and I thought you were dead or in jail, I lost a whole year of my life looking for you.
Oh, I never said thank you.
That's right, never. I lost my wife and my only child for you.
Mama told me he poured kerosene all over himself. Lit a match. That was a year before I met you.
Thank you.
Claire couldn't understand how the failure of the experiment could possibly matter that much compared to the fate of the world. But such were the passions of the Faber family that the experiment seemed of greater importance than the end of time itself.
Dad, can I have some money?
What for?
I need some parts for my science project.
No, I can't afford it.
But I've got to have a power source.
No!
Sam, what could I have done? What could I have done?
You could have trusted me. You could have admitted you were wrong for once in your life.
Well, I could let you work for me.
Okay, I'll do anything.
Of course, you'd have to pay a small initiation fee. Even your dues.
Great, where am I going to get that?
Well, you're the genius. Think of something.
Ah, you boy, stop fighting now. Let's talk about something else.
That's enough. Stop it, both of you.
I could talk about my dream.
It was all Sam thought about. He blamed himself, even in his dreams.
I don't understand this nightmare. I thought he got over all that.
He needs a father.
But you're here.
He doesn't like me.
That's not true.
It is true. He's obsessed with Sam. Daddy did this. Daddy could do it better. It's been 3 years. How can he remember all that stuff?
He likes you.
Does he?
Of course. He doesn't feel that you're his father yet. You just need more time together.
What? What?
You gotta show more interest. No, I'm serious. You don't see it, George, but he lies and makes stuff up to get attention. It's because, you know, you gotta be there for him. If we're gonna do these weekends, you gotta be engaged.
You put these ideas in his head that I'm not interested in. It's not fair.
Come on, I don't discuss this with Miles. You've got all this anger that you carry around from work or I don't know where, and he feels it. He thinks it's directed at him. He doesn't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
Everyone's got anger.
Oh, George.
Well, I don't want to be analyzed right now.
Miles sees this stuff. He sees.
Christmas went by unnoticed. Those nights in December of 1999 were filled with silent anxiety. The radios gave nothing but static. We did not know if the great cities of the world still existed, if our parents, our children, our friends were still alive or burned or sick. We all shared the same fears, but nobody dared talk about it.
Hey. Sit down, man.
What's wrong?
Sit down. You don't look so good.
Oh, I just have a headache. What's going on?
Nothing, just watching the game, having a buzz.
The police called us.
What'd they want?
They want to know if we had had a chance to find out what happened to you the other night. And they want to know if you remembered anything.
I don't know where I've been. I don't remember anything.
I can't remember a thing until today.
What'd you tell them?
We're not gonna say anything about that night to the police.
We saw you that night, Pete.
You came home with your friend, Sheila.
Sheila.
Yeah. There was a man with you.
What is this? Why didn't you tell me anything?